good evening and welcome to an Island Life special as we look at active travel and ask, is it a step in the right direction? You join me, Sian Cowper, on my walk home from work. And as a chance, if you're listening now, you might be on your own journey home. Active travel is a phrase that's been used quite a bit over the last year, as the Isle of Man government aims to have a fifth of the island's population walking, running, cycling and so on by 2021. But what's actually being done to get more people out of their cars? Well, last Friday, a launch event took place at Noah Bakehouse, revealing a number of routes that have been identified by the charity Sustrans as prime routes for active travel. I went down to the launch and caught up with Infrastructure Minister Ray Harmer.
Today is really exciting because we're launching the first stage of the investment for active travel. It really comes on the back of the announcement about the climate change bill. But active travel, it touches so many areas, public health, emissions and so forth. And today is about those routes that we want to employ and also about the new officers that we have to support in education and in the workplace as well.
Well, these plans are going to be on display in Douglas all next week as well. How important is it that people do get a chance to have a look and to learn about what's on offer?
I think it's very important because it's a real cultural change. It's giving people the choice to walk or cycle, as well as, you know, use the car and other modes. And they can come out and see how it'd be quite transformational. And a lot of work has gone into creating those routes. So, for example, and getting the details and analysis of how we can use, if you like, the flatter areas within Douglas and so forth, because there are one or two hills, and get people into the centre.
There was a gentleman raised a question about whether cyclists need more tarmacking, whether they need more routes that are separate from cars. What do you make of that?
Well, that will be part of this. There will be more separation for cyclists. There will be more, in some areas, tarmac. It's not always true that you need tarmac for cycling. With the recent short cycle ride that I did, a lot of those areas weren't tarmacked. So it's about having kip riding and a good, strong surface. But it's about walking and cycling, so it's for everyone. One, really.
There was a lady as well who asked about routes in the north of the island. At the moment you've got routes for Douglas, you've got the Heritage Trail one. When can we expect to see some more routes elsewhere?
So I think this is a massive investment, and what was very clear in the active travel strategy was that we hit 80%, or we try and target the majority, and the majority is in Douglas, obviously in the surrounding areas. But there is an importance that we do link to other projects that will happen over time. But obviously we've only just got the investment for this, so it is about how far it's making the best use of our money.
When will we start to see things like changes to footpaths and improvements to make it more user-friendly for people who want to travel?
Yeah, so, well, you're going to see something over the next couple of years. This is now really an implementation phase. But as I said, it's not just about infrastructure, because if we don't change and change some of the culture, so if you take education, for example, it's important, and in the workplace, to say, actually, I have an option. I can go for a cycle, or I can go and get to walk to work, or to take that short journey. Some journeys will be by car, that's of course, but it's just replacing some of those smaller ones and giving people a choice. And so often there actually isn't a choice, and this is for all ages, including elderly people who want a safe route to walk to, you know, to the shops or so forth.
The idea of active travel itself isn't new. What is it about this strategy that's going to make the change?
It's incredibly new for the island. It's incredibly, you know, it's a massive change for in cultural. It's obviously recognising what's happening across in other jurisdictions, but it's changing. But this is very new, because what we're doing here, it isn't, as I say, it's not just about infrastructure. It's got to include public health, it's got to include, and it's actually people working together across government. And that's been obviously always a challenge. And that's what makes a difference between, if you like, this active travel and maybe some places where, if you like, we put a route in and run away and see what happens. You can't do that. You have to work together.
You're a keen cyclist yourself. Are you going to be active travelling?
Yes, and I do. And I always said the thing that I noticed was even walking from the Tynwald building to the sea terminal, as I call it, and I was always using the car, and I thought, well, that's daft. I could be walking. But sometimes it's a bit of a hazard, as you know, getting through traffic. So it's giving people a choice to be able to do that, and to say, if I because quite often there isn't a choice. It's just so busy. It's such a struggle. You think, why bother? And I think it's giving that people the ability to have that choice.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, these routes have been drawn up by walking and cycling charity Sustrans, specifically the organisation's head of design and engineering for the North, Mark Robinson. He was on hand to explain to those at the launch what makes these routes the best for this type of travel.
Well, we're a sustainable transport charity and we replied to a tender to help out with the Department of Infrastructure to look at their cycling strategy and walking strategy. One of the things I've been working on is the Active Travel Investment Plan, which sets out the rationale for where the Isle of Man should spend their money to help people travel more actively.
So what was it about the routes that have been highlighted here? What was it about those routes that suits, really?
Well, we looked at a number of criteria to where the routes should best be set. So we looked at the travel patterns, and that is where people live and where they're going to work, to see where the most popular corridors are. We looked at the topography, because there's one thing we've noticed when we're doing some survey out here, there's some hills, and that particularly affects cycling. It also affects walking, where people are likely to walk and cycle too. So although Douglas is hilly, there are some flat areas as well along the seafront and along the river valleys. And with e-bikes as well, that makes tackling some of those hills a bit more easy. And we also looked at the built environment, and that's really important in Douglas because you've got a lot of narrow streets, a lot of on-street parking. One of the challenges was to find corridors that would be useful for walking and cycling, but on which there was enough space to actually provide something for walking and cycling. We also looked at the existing infrastructure, so that's what the Isle of Man have invested in already. So they're already investing in the promenade, they're already investing in the heritage trail. It makes sense to link those two together and make the most out of it.
So how much work will need to be done to get these routes into a condition where people will be willing to use them?
Well, we suggested a series of core routes. If you look at those criteria we mentioned earlier, those core routes are limited. There are only so many places that you can actually provide core walking and cycle routes. That's by the river valley and the seafront. Those are largely programmed to be constructed over the next couple of years. But what's really important to get the use up on those routes is that you work with the communities within all the spaces in between. And that needs to take place over the next few years to make sure that those use on those routes is maximised and everyone's ready for it. So that means working with schools, working with businesses and working with communities to make sure they can get to the core routes, but also so they can actually undertake the many, many other journeys between those neighbourhoods and between the neighbourhoods and the schools, between the neighbourhoods and the places of work, the shops, the leisure centres and all the rest of it.
Given some of the active travel schemes that have been set up elsewhere, how big an impact can you expect this to have here?
If we look at in the UK, and particularly in Scotland, they're doing a lot of good work on this now. And you can get levels of up to 20% for walking, somewhere around 7% for cycling. I think the target for this is that 20% of people on the Isle of Man travel actively for work by the next census in 2021. I think that's definitely achievable.
The aim isn't just to get cars off the road and reduce traffic. There are potentially big health benefits to a more active population, as Director of Public Health Henrietta Ewart explains.
The benefits largely come from the physical activity aspect of it, but above and beyond the physical activity, it's actually the mental health and well-being benefits that come from being outside. Physically, exercise has tremendous health benefits, so many and so good that if it had been invented by a drug company, it would be a miracle cure or a wonder drug. The fact that it's there for nothing, just for the taking, means that we tend not to value it as much as we should. But the benefits of the physical activity are seen in reduced risk of heart disease and stroke, reduced risk of diabetes, reduced risk of cancer, and the plus side, as I said before, is really around increased mental health and well-being. So, you know, it's what's not to like.
We're talking about some quite short journeys here, 2.5 miles. Is that enough to have a real impact?
Yes, it is. The recommended levels of exercise that we should all be taking every week, and this is based on evidence and endorsed by the chief medical officers across the British Isles, is that we should exercise for 150 minutes a week. So a journey of 2.5 to 5 miles on several days a week will quickly get us there. And it costs nothing. All you need is yourself and a pair of comfortable shoes.
I think it was Minister Harmer made reference to if you could prescribe exercise, how much of an impact that would help. Would you like to see more medical advice going this direction, being able to, in a way, prescribe exercise?
Yes, I think instead of reaching for the prescription pad, talking through with patients the lifestyle changes that they can make is a very important thing, and I know that's becoming more and more a feature of general practice primary care. So I think our GP medical colleagues and practice nursing colleagues are already on board with that. But I think what we need to be careful about is not making it too much of a lifestyle choice, i.e. we give you the information and it's up to you to do it. As I was saying, you know, in the presentation there, there is something about how we support behaviour change by really shifting the environment and the culture so that actually we don't have to think, oh, my GP said I should do some exercise. We actually do it because that's just the way we behave.
You mentioned there about mental health. Can I just touch on that a bit more? How big an impact would a bit of extra exercise have to someone who is feeling not themselves?
Very significantly. There have been studies that have shown that for people with mild to moderate depression, physical activity is as good as taking drugs. And I think the other great thing about physical activity is it gives you a coping strategy. You can do it yourself. You're in control of it. So, you know, if you get over your depression, or for people who've never had it but think maybe they're sliding into it, then get out and do the exercise. Then you're in control. It's not that passive thing of I'm ill, I must have a drug. And I think that's phenomenally good for people's sense of their own autonomy and their own ability to control the bad stuff that happens to us all in life.
So if they meet their targets, getting 20% of people to do active travel, what impact would you expect to see on the island's health? What kind of numbers would you look for?
That's always very difficult, not least when we've got a small population anyway, and it can be difficult to actually track trends. But we would be expecting to see a change in people's self-reported exercise and in their self-reported mental health and well-being through our regular health and lifestyle surveys. And it will take a bit longer, but we should see an impact on the number of people with the conditions that we talked about that are related to inactivity. So that would be type 2 diabetes, heart disease and stroke. We should see an improvement in people's musculoskeletal health, and that's one of the major reasons for people dropping out of the workforce at the moment. So we should ultimately see some improvements in workforce participation, all of which will be, you know, good for the Isle of Man, for individuals, for the community, for the economy.
Well, one concern that was raised by some of those in attendance at the launch was road safety. Inspector Gav Callow from the island's police believes driver education will play a big role in making vulnerable road users feel safe while commuting.
Well, it's a strategy that involves lots of partners, the police being one of them, and it's designed to make the roads safer for people so they want to use the roads for leisure and also for getting to work.
How much of a safety issue is there with roads for pedestrians and for cyclists?
This initiative is about the safer use of the roads for everyone. So it's a way of thinking about how we design the roads, how we use the roads, and you know, working with partners to get that to happen.
So are there plans to maybe educate drivers more if there are going to be more cyclists and pedestrians on the roads?
Yeah, I think driver education is really important, and I've been speaking to several people here today, and there's a common theme that, you know, a lot of people have ridden a bicycle when they've been young, and then they might not have ridden them for some time, and then they're in the car and they don't really have an understanding of how a bicycle needs to be handled on the road, why a bicycle might be in a certain position on the road, and what to expect, and also what might be unexpected things might a young person do on a bicycle, for example. I got a bike through the Ride to Work scheme, and I, on occasion, I ride to work, not every day, and it's raining outside today, so I think I need to get a waterproof coat, but we certainly want to encourage people to travel to work, yeah, in all climates. And there's certainly a really good system that's developing within the Douglas area, and we want to sort of work with our partners to look at, you know, how do people commute the longer distances.
Is it something that with these routes the police would maybe look to have a presence and keep an eye on people when they're first seeing a bit of extra traffic?
We've got a thing called the Close Pass Scheme, which we had a few months ago, and it was just basically educating car drivers on how to safely overtake bicycles. So we would go out, a police officer on a bicycle, if they got overtaken too close, we would pull the driver in, purely from education. You know, if it was something shocking, we would deal with them for offences, because there are certain offences that exist, but mainly from an education point of view. And that's the message, really. We want to educate everyone to use the roads together. The safe travels idea is having maybe routes away from the roads, but also sharing the roads or having designated cycle lanes. So it's a partnership work. Just one other issue to discuss is sharing the roads with riders. For example, going from south towards Douglas, past the ferry bridge, I notice in the mornings that cars are often quite held up by cyclists. And cyclists, all they're doing is commuting to work. The problem there is it's uphill, it's a little bit slower, and the cyclists can't go that close to the edge of the road because the road service needs some improvement. That is being looked at, but cyclists, they will go out in a safer position in the road. They're trained to do so on our cycling training. So I know it frustrates car drivers, but cyclists are trying to keep themselves safe, basically.
One vocal critic of road safety in recent months has been Middle MHK Bill Shimmons. He's expressed concern about traffic in his constituency and was the only member of Tynwald to vote against the government's road safety strategy, believing it doesn't do enough to calm traffic in urban areas. He was one of a number of politicians at the launch, and I asked him whether he thinks this is a scheme he can get behind.
I think this is a very positive start, and great that we've announced the first few strategic routes. I'm sure that is one part of an equation, so which will help us with not just traffic, but with the health challenges that we have, which are not just about physical health and obesity, but there's a lot of evidence that actively commuting really helps your mental health. And also help us with some of the environmental challenges, you know, in terms of reducing emissions and improving air quality for everyone who lives in the island. So I think it's a really positive start. I think we're actually about 20 years behind many places on this journey, but it's good that we've taken this first step, and I look forward to seeing it develop in the future.
With your constituency in mind, I know you do have these traffic concerns. Do you think it's practical for people to cycle from that neck of the woods?
Absolutely. So in Middle, Braddon, Moran and Santon, you can see already that there is a number of proposed routes. The Heritage Trail is an enormous opportunity for us. It's a flat piece of track, which is very helpful, but there's a number of feeder housing areas which go down in the Heritage Trail. So yes, I think it needs to be a decision that each individual make. I see very much government's role is helping facilitate that choice. But yes, this could be, and I know it's of a lot of interest to many of my constituents who would really like to actively commute, but they have concerns. They also have concerns about their children in terms of road safety. So it's great to hear from the police today their commitment in terms of making a road safer for vulnerable road users, and also to hear from Sustrans, our education officer, who's going out working with school children, to ask them to tell him how can we improve things, what they want to see to help them either walk or scoot or cycle to school, which actually many of us remember from when we went to school. So why wouldn't we want that for school children now, man?
How much of a help would more facilities like showers and bike racks and things like that be?
I think these are very practical things, and so a number of organisations are starting to look at that. It's great the government is also saying it's starting to look at that and put in those facilities. And here we are in the Market Hall, and I understand that they're launching cycle racks and showers and lockers for people, because not every office will be able to install showers. So some of those practical things are really important. So delighted that those are now recognised, and if we can get some real progress on that, then hopefully we'll see more and more people actively commuting, which will drive enormous benefits.
Mr. Shimmons is also one of a number of politicians to question air quality standards recently. He and two other Tynwald members paid for their own tests to see what impact traffic has on air quality at peak times. Getting more people out of their cars would mean fewer emissions, but could the current level of pollution put some off I asked Environment Minister Geoffrey Boot.
Well, I think it's all part of the climate change strategy, really, but it plays more to the health strategy as well, in terms of if you're active and travelling, particularly in Douglas, where it's easier to access workplace via foot or bike, then it brings a health benefit. It also brings an air improvement benefit. So it's a win-win situation.
Well, we've spoken a lot recently about things like air testing and air improvement you mentioned there. I spoke to Bill Shimmons at the launch of the Priority Routes the other day, and he mentioned concerns over air quality. What assurances can you give to those who would be walking or those who would be cycling that it will be good for them?
I can give them very good assurances. Our air quality generally is excellent. There are some hot spots where we nudge the EU limit, but only in two places. Apart from that, Douglas and the Isle of Man as a whole has excellent air quality.
With aspects of infrastructure, environment and health, who's going to be in charge of this? It was the infrastructure minister that brought the strategy to Tynwald, but now a role's been created to oversee all aspects of active travel. That job has gone to MLC, Kate Lord-Brennan.
It's vital. You couldn't approach something like this in any other way apart from working across government, because it's actually really significant change that's needed. And here we're just at the start of the journey with the announcement of the routes and the important impact that Sustrans have had in using an evidence base for identifying those routes. But that's just the start, but there's a lot of stuff that needs to change, and that's going to involve work across governments. That's why the Cabinet Office is involved, that's why we've got the road safety team involved. So it really needs it to be a push from all directions to make this happen.
How important is the working with schools aspect and educating children from a young age?
It's very important. It's not just about the children, though, as well. I think really people lead such busy lives that often it is the case that jumping in the car and rushing from place to place really does seem like the only answer in every situation, but it may not be. I think in some cases the congestion around schools is such, but also the houses around schools are such, that it can actually be quicker to just do part of that journey by foot than it is to drive around a very congested area and find a car parking space. And then of course you get the benefits from having that bit of a walk at either end of the day, so people can build that in at some part of the week. That will be brilliant. But the schools officer from Sustrans will really be the next step in how things pan out around schools.
How will we know if this has been a success?
It needs to be measured. So at the next census, there will be measurement of how many more people are cycling or walking or scooting or whatever, active travel, as part of their everyday journeys. So that, I think that's important to have an eye on the actual impact of it.
As the member for Active Travel, do you yourself actively travel when you come in for your political meetings?
I do sometimes. I walk my child to school and pick him up. I live in an area where there's lots of houses around the school. It's quicker, and when you're walking your child, you can hold their hand, if they're little, of course, and they'll let you. And you can connect in a different way, and you can notice the seasons around you. Sometimes I will cycle into work. Obviously, everybody's got different arrangements. I think the point about this is, even if you find one or two times a week where you think, I'm going to do part of the journey on a bike, and it requires thinking ahead and planning, you know, clothes, kit. And what we need is workplaces also to start providing cycle storage, lockers, showers, that sort of thing. And again, there will be some input from Sustrans direct with businesses. Some businesses over here are great for that. So yeah, I mean, I do it. I think everybody needs to just give it a try.
So just remind us then, where can people find out more information over the next week while these items are on display?
So the display in terms of the plans and the summary of the Active Travel Investment Plan will be down at the sea terminal next week. And then following that, I understand the display is going to be moved to Cycle 360. Obviously, summaries of the information will be available online as well.
Well, Mrs. Lord-Brennan spoke there about the school's Active Travel Officer. That's a role created by Sustrans to teach children about the benefits of commuting through exercise and how to do so in a safe manner. James Madrill is the man tasked with the job.
So it is my job to go into schools and promote active travel. So that can be cycling, walking, scooting, any way that is in the environment to get to school, basically. not driving.
Do you find that kids want to be more active on their way to school?
Oh, 100%. I mean, as soon as you enable a child to walk, to cycle, they absolutely love it. My nephew, he goes absolutely mad when he gets to walk to school.
And are there benefits outside of just the exercise? Do you find that if someone's done a bit of exercise, they concentrate a bit better and things like that?
Yeah, there are proven studies that prove that a child that walks to school, that cycles to school, is better in the classroom.
How important is it to work with younger generation before they get dependent on their cars and things like that?
Yeah, it's really important. Building those habits when you're young will obviously alleviate a lot of the problems that occur later on in life.
So which schools are you going into? Is it just primary schools or is it secondary as well?
So Ballacamina, the launch school. Adrienne, the headmistress there, she's been absolutely fantastic at promoting this scheme. And we're also working with Ballacamina's partner schools, so all the primary schools that feed into Ballacamina.
And how important is the safety aspect as well?
Safety is really important. That's the main importance there. Obviously, we work really hard to make sure that everything's safe. A lot of our schemes are in the classroom, talking about road safety, cycling safety, walking safety.
Do you find that the parents do think it's safe to let their children travel to school this way?
A lot of the time, no. So it's getting to those parents through the children, letting them know how safe it actually can be if everyone was to walk to school.
James Madrill there. So how will we know if this makes any difference? Well, the next census is in 2 years, and that's how government will tell if there's been an increase in active travel. I've taken a slight detour on my walk home, and that's brought me to the sea terminal. And I've come here because the maps are actually on display here, showing all the priority routes until Friday. And that just about brings us to the end of our journey. If you do want to listen again, this show is available as a podcast and also at manxradio.com. However you're getting home tonight, have a safe journey.